Hey there, welcome to This True Talk. My name is Jessica Hoddle and I'm your host. This is where we have real, raw, and honest conversations about life. Today's topic is all about quick success or steady growth with Jennifer Dukes Lee. This is such a fun interview, but it's also one dear to my heart because I relate so much to the slow and steady growth in my heart, but my flesh really wants the quick success. And I think so many of us can relate to that. Jennifer just released her book called Growing Slow, Lessons on Unhurrying Your Heart from an Accidental Farm Girl. You know, she writes books, she loves queso, she loves singing too loudly. And the most important thing is that she is also a farmer. She is a fifth generation Lee family farm in Iowa. And it's beautiful how she encourages us in every different season, what every different season looks like according to, you know, spring, summer, fall, and winter, and how we can relate that to our lives. This episode is for you if you have any desire in your heart for that quick success, you know, the fast weight loss, the quick success in business, to get all the followers, to get all the likes. If you just feel like you are hurried, rushed, and busy all the time, this episode is for you. And I want to encourage you to head to the link in the show notes below to pick up her book, Growing Slow, because it is going to bless you. I got an advanced reader copy and it is blessing me. So let's go ahead and get to the interview. Jennifer, thank you so much for being here. I'm excited to get into this topic about quick success versus steady growth. I want to know, what kind of season were you in before you even started talking about this topic, growing slow?
I was in a growing fast season, let's be honest. The idea of anything growing slow just doesn't sound very appealing. And I've kind of been a work hard, hustle. I've got to move more quickly with my life and with my goals. Time is running short and I'm falling behind. And in the world that we live in right now, with such easy access to other people's progress and people's progress as it relates to even the same kinds of things that we are doing in our lives, whether that's our businesses or, for me, writing and publishing or weight loss, or, I mean, you name it, parenting, you have easy access to see how other people are doing in the exact same areas that you are. And then not only that, but you see multiple people killing it at various different kinds of things, and you stack all of those up on top of each other, and you have to have you should have a better home by now. You should be, you know, more updated in your decorating. You should be more fit. Your kids should be further along. And so you stack all that up and it creates a lot of pressure that hurries your heart and tries to get you to the next level quicker.
Yeah, no, that's so true. I think about last year specifically, I've been talking about this a lot on the podcast, the book process. I think I saw all my friends getting a book deal last year. It's kind of like when you buy a red car, you see all the red cars.
Right.
And that is what we felt like. And I was like, you want to do all the things, right? You're like, okay, I got to do the ads. I got to build the list. I got to make myself better. Did you have a breaking point though, where in your growing fast, was there a moment that you were just kind of like, whoops, and it kind of broke the fast?
Right. That is such a great question. And quite honestly, as I look back, I've known it instinctively for a very long time. But when I realized that I needed to put it in action was during a year on the farm, just a couple of years ago. We had a terrible rainy spring season. And all over the Midwest, farmers were not able to get into the fields to plant our fields. And we did a lot of praying in church and a lot of praying around our table. God, you know, stop the rain so we can get into these fields. And eventually, very late in the season, we were able to get our fields planted here on this farm in Iowa. And I looked out at those fields and I had a great confidence that God would bring a harvest, but that it would be a growing slow kind of year. Like it was just going to take longer than usual. And what I realized in those moments was that what I believed to be true for the land and God's sovereignty over the land, I didn't necessarily believe to be true for me. And I wanted to push along my growth to the rate that I wanted it to be in pretty much every area of my life. And so I was quite deliberately trying to figure out what it looked like to embrace seasons and to embrace the pace of growth that God had me on, because I was kind of going breakneck speed, and it was taking a physical toll on my body and on my mind. And I just had to tap the brakes in a kind of big way and just be at peace with the pace that God had me on.
Yeah. I think it's so much easier said than done, which I know you talk about that in the book. It sounds so great to go slow. And then you watch everybody and it feels like their speed is 10 times faster than yours. What was the biggest maybe lesson or turning point from the fast to the slow? When you saw that spring, that harvest was not going to be the pace that you wanted it, what was that learning point that you saw? Okay, this is what fast felt like. This is what slow looks like. How do I fall into that rest?
Well, I had gone to a bunch of doctors for weird aches and pains. And I mean, everything from like a racing heart to a pains in my gut and not sleeping right. And just this very unsettled way. And many doctor's appointments and like everything came back. No, you're fine. Blood tests, just various kinds of tests were all coming back that I was completely healthy. And I went to a functional medicine doctor and he just kind of took an audit of my whole self. And he said, it's true that there's nothing really physically wrong with you, but what is happening is that you have a sort of hurried heart, and you're going to have to figure out what it looks like to just slow down. And I mean, you know, all of us hear that. We've heard that message a gazillion times, but none of us really do anything about it. And I knew that I had to do something about it, and making some deliberate choices in my life to embrace the pace of growth that God had me on has actually created more growth in my life, if you can believe it. Like the deliberate choice to grow slow has over the last 2 years helped me to put down good roots and a good system of holding me firm and giving me some sustainable growth in a lot of areas in my life.
I think a lot of women can probably relate to the doctor or going and feeling so off. And then they get back, well, you're just stressed. And you're like, great. Okay. Isn't this life? You know, like, what do I do?
Yeah,
and I think what then became kind of your touching points for beginning to slow down? What did you implement almost right away? Or were you kind of stubborn, right? Like, oh, this isn't going to do anything. Why would this matter?
A lot of it was sort of this method. There was a sort of method that I adopted, and I can talk about that a little bit, and it's spelled out in the book. I adopted this method that helped me slow down, but some deliberate things that I did were to really take a look at what I was growing in my life. For instance, I'm at the point in parenting when I can see that the fruit is coming from things that were planted, you know, 16 to 19 years ago in my girls. And that, you know, when they were younger, I was like, I've got to figure out how to make sure that they know their ABCs and that they're walking at the right time and that they're, you know, developing in these various areas. And am I doing enough to grow them in their faith? And everything that I did felt so small and so slow, but now I'm seeing the fruit of it all of these years later. When last year, my 18 year old daughter came to me and said, hey, Mom, let's read through the Bible in a year. And that she sends me, now that she's in college, a prayer request at the beginning of every month because she has a prayer journal. I mean, those are things that she learned at a young age that I didn't know were making a difference. And you can only see some fruit later on. And so I began to look at the things that in the places where I had been, you know, growing slow already, because you have no choice as a parent to let things grow slow. It happens over years. And I began to see that there was real fruit in that, and to then apply it to my life. So for instance, I'm in publishing, in not only as an author, but also as an acquisitions editor for Bethany House Publishers. And I see a lot of book proposals from authors who, you know, started Instagram a year ago and now have 20 and 30,000 followers on Instagram. And it always causes me to pause because I don't know exactly how they got there. Did they buy followers? Did they, you know, are the people engaged, or is it just sort of a gimmick? And so the people that I found that I was really interested in as an acquisitions editor were people who had put down deep roots, maybe even over the past 5 to 10 years. Their platforms, so to speak, their Instagram and their Facebook might not be as high as some of the new people hopping onto the scene, but they had really done the good work of putting down deep roots. And so in my own Instagram and my own Facebook, it's just faithfully showing up every day, doing what feels fun, doing what feels natural, not stressing, honestly, not stressing about how many shares or likes or anything that my social media gets, but just showing up every day and doing the good work of being present for people who happen to appear on my Instagram page or on my Facebook. And then, you know, just in regular life, it's things like sitting down while I'm eating instead of standing up and trying to, you know, also like take a bite, go put in a load of laundry, like just focusing on one thing at a time. Yeah. And at dinner with our family, really just sitting and maybe even lighting candles and lingering longer at the table and not rushing through meals and sitting with people, asking them how they're doing, and then sticking around long enough to hear the answer and really looking in their eyes. I mean, all these things are intentional choices that don't have you running out the door to go do the next thing, but really being present in the moment that you're in.
I think a lot of us can probably feel a little bit more freed. You know, it can be really freeing to hear you say that, especially with social media and how things are nowadays, to just show up authentically and just let God take care of the rest, but you be you and you do what, you know, he's called you to do. But also that perfect and beautiful example of family, to slow down, to actually eat your food, to look people in the eye and say, how was your day? Like, no, really, how was your day? Not just, oh, this is good. You know, I had a good day, I had a bad day, whatever. And I think that this can go, you know, you started your book off talking about how we want to go slow, but our bend is always to go fast. What do you think the roots of that is?
I think it's because we treat time like the enemy. It's something like, I don't have enough time. I'm running out of time. I don't have time for X, Y, or Z. And so we treat time as this thing that needs to be manipulated or squeezed or shoved into tiny boxes on our calendars. And I think that when we have a shift toward a growing slow mindset, we start to treat time as our friend, as something that is not just a, you know, this commodity to be manipulated, but something to be valued at every point. And that time includes seasons for things, you know, that there are seasons within time itself for spring planting, for summer growth, for the harvest of autumn. And then even time, one fourth of a season here in Iowa is winter, a very cold winter with, you know, where the ground is frozen and where the trees go dormant. And I often look at the trees in winter and think, if a tree needs rest, then don't we too as people? And so embracing these various seasons that our lives are in and not constantly feeling that we have to live in a continuous cycle of plant, grow, harvest, which is exhausting and tiring and is not healthy if you want to adopt a growing slow mindset. You need to embrace the winter seasons, not just in the world, but within us.
I feel like I always relate to the parables that Jesus uses with that kind of, you know, we know a tree by its fruit, and just thinking about the parables that he uses about success or growth or rest, like that always encourages me because it's a great visual, because we can see the season. Well, at least here in different states, we see the seasons changing. I mean, I experience it in Pennsylvania as well. We see the winters, we see the spring, we see the fall. And it is a beautiful reminder of what each season brings. And you talk a lot about that in your book. It's broken down into those four seasons, and you really give clear examples. Now, I know that when it comes to slow and steady growth, it sounds really fun and it sounds exciting. You're like, yes, I'm in for that. Totally doable. What would you tell somebody though, to help us really stay focused and steady when it doesn't feel fun?
Right. So I have what I call the growing slow method, and it's built into the book, but it's also something that I've started to do in my own life and even on my social media. And it's the method is three R's: remember, reflect, and return. And so remember is this, you can make this a daily practice, a weekly practice, a monthly practice, but you remember something. It's either a truth that you heard, a Bible verse that you read that's related to where you're at, maybe a song lyric, or maybe it's a photo, something that spoke to you that you want to remember. And it's a grounding point that gives you some rootedness. And then you reflect on that, like, why is that important? How is the Holy Spirit speaking to me through that particular truth? And then finally, and so you would journal that or ponder that or talk with a friend about it. I mean, you could make this a practice with a friend. Like, what did you remember? What do you want to remember today? Right? You could text each other this and reflect on it. And then the return part is about returning to the land, like returning to the places where you dwell right now, whether that's in Pennsylvania or Ohio or Iowa or California, like in your suburb, on your farm, in your apartment, like, how can I make this real in the places where I dwell, in my workouts center, in my grocery shopping? I mean, I don't care what it is, you can apply a growing slow method to it. Like, what do I want to remember? I want to reflect on that. And then here are the steps that I'm going to take this week or this month or this day to make that real in my life.
Yeah, I love that's beautiful. And I love like alliteration and things to be able to help you remember. So three R's is great. And I think to be able, so a lot of women are like, well, how do I know if I'm growing fast, you know, quick success, or if I'm actually practicing studying, growing slow? So what do the roots of quick success look like versus the roots of growing slow?
Well, I'll use an analogy, a farm analogy. Jesus liked to use farm analogies, so I'm going to go with it. You know, he talks about those four types of soils, right? And so here is why it's great to grow slow. And then maybe you can re-ask the question, because I know what's going to happen. I'm going to get stuck in this metaphor and then I'll forget what the question is that you asked. But I want to tell you this story. So we grow corn and soybeans on our farm. And when we plant seeds and put them down in the dark and they're covered with dirt, and there's literally millions of seeds on these 700 acres that we own. And, you know, if I was a corn seed, I'd be under the ground thinking, but I'd be freaking out. I'd be like, why am I not growing? Why is it dark in here? Nothing is happening. And, but yet I've never once seen a corn plant freaking out. And, Jesus says that the plants do not labor or spin. And so if that's true for the plants, how can that be true for me? Because then all of a sudden, boom, you know, like maybe a week later, there's this tiny, almost invisible piece of green shoot coming up out of the ground. And then another week later, it's just maybe like an inch high. And then all of a sudden you look out one day and there's this glorious sun and we've got a little bit more growth over minutes or days. Sometimes it's imperceptible, but over months and seasons, all of a sudden we have this beautiful plant. At the same time that we can see what's growing up slowly, at the same time it's growing down slowly, putting down deep roots. And so every once in a while in the summer, we'll have a horrible windstorm and we'll look out in the morning and the corn plants are bent at quite an angle. And you'll think, there's no way that corn plant is ever going to survive. And you can maybe guess the reason that it does. It's because it's put down such deep roots that it's able to hold itself in place and still bear fruit come harvest time. In the same way, sometimes we'll have seasons of drought where it won't rain for a month and plants need rain. But what happens with those roots is that they go down even deeper to go find water. Like, it's crazy how the plant knows and how that system knows to go down and find water. And I think the same is true of us, to not get stressed out about the moments when we're dark and under the ground and it looks like nothing is happening, not to get stressed out when we're just barely seeing just a tiny bit of growth, just barely above the ground, knowing that all the while, for every inch that we are growing upward, we're also putting down deep roots below us that will help us withstand the storms of life, the disappointments of life, seasons of drought, all those kinds of things that invariably will come to us. And so for me, it's a beautiful picture of what it means to just sort of trust the process. And there's never like a time, unless there is something sort of falsely applied, like over fertilizing or creating some magical seed that creates growth overnight. It just doesn't happen. Most people are not an American Idol star or, something like that, where you see this sort of overnight success. Those are interesting and they can happen, but for the most part, they are rare. And I think that our best bet for our own sanity and for our own spiritual health and emotional health is to trust the growth process that God built into not only the land, but into us as human beings.
Yeah. From what I really hear, I think it all comes down to our heart posture. And it really can go back to our relationship with God and how we view God and trusting Him in the process. You know, your tagline of your book talks about unhurrying the heart. Would you agree that it has a lot to do with our heart posture towards the fast versus the slow?
Absolutely. There is no other way to have peace with any kind of process related to our growth other than just to understand that God is making everything beautiful in its time, it says in Ecclesiastes 3. And so the heart posture being that God is sovereign over time and over seasons and over growth. And now there are different things that we can try to do to manipulate the process or to create, we see an ad for you lose 10 pounds in a week or gain this much strength at your gym or grow your business this much or make this much money in a month, whatever it is. But we all know that those quick schemes toward anything just don't last. That's why people get on these yo-yo diets that they can't sustain it. But if you're willing to say, I'm going to take the, this is the slower way. And you're only going to lose like a pound a month if you're on a weight loss plan. And that's 12 pounds in a year doesn't sound like a lot, but weight loss over a long time in developing good habits is sustainable. Losing 10 pounds in a week is not, just by way of an example. And so, yeah, just having that heart posture and accepting that slow growth, slow movement is really going to put down those deep roots.
Yeah. My husband, John, and I often talk about the 1 degree, when scripture talks about the rudder is so small in a boat, but how we use our mouth, the rudder is so small, but the ship is so big and it guides, the boat, the ship. But the same is true if that ship is 1 degree off of its course, over time, it will be probably on the other side of the world of where it's supposed to be. But I think the same goes true for that 1% that we are faithful, right, to that seed of just, okay, what's 1% I can do today? Because it will be 1% greater than it was yesterday. And I think that's really exactly what you're trying to say is that if I can lose, 1 pound this month, but over time, that 1 degree, I'll learn how to be steady and faithful versus the emotional roller coaster of up and down. It's a beautiful example. I love that. And on the topic of unhurrying, can you break that down a little bit? I know that we live in this fast pace. What does it mean to you to unhurry your heart?
So I just got back from a retreat called God's Truth, by the way, which I think is really neat. That was the theme of this retreat with these teens. And that fits with your podcast. I love it. Such a God thing. Anyway, for 3 days, I spent some time with a group of teenagers and we had no phones, no social media, no drama, no expectations, no, posturing, and just having these times of, simply stepping away from the world a little bit really helped us to all slow down and showed me that it's possible in this day and age, even for teenagers, to not, be trying to keep their snap chat streaks alive and see what somebody's doing out on Instagram or making a TikTok, but just like taking time to put down good roots in our faith system. It was just a beautiful thing. And now I forget the question you asked.
Hurry your heart. What does that mean?
That's
to you?
Right. So there we go. That's what it was. This happens to me. This in remembering that I was at a retreat with teenagers and did not get a lot of sleep. So what does it mean to unhurry your heart? And so that to me showed that just taking time, you know, we can't always just take 3 days away from the world, but even if we could just every evening set aside time to just be still and put the phone away and step away from the computer and know that work can work, some work can wait for tomorrow, even if it means leaving the dishes in the dishwasher, and even if it means just refusing to compare yourself to strangers on the internet. All of those kinds of things can hurry your heart and have you with this sense of I'm falling behind. And I think adopting a sort of mindset in knowing that there are no milestones for anything. There are no set times for, you know, when or if you should get married. There are no milestones for when or if you should have a child or a second child. There are no milestones for what weight you should be or what, you know, how far along your business should be or how many books you should publish or how many downloads your podcast has. There just are no real milestones for any of those things. And so if you set aside these false milestones and expectations that we put on ourselves, we naturally are able to have an unhurried heart because there isn't this pressure to meet fake milestones.
Yeah, no, that's good. Well, I'm going to encourage the listeners today to think about practically maybe one to three things where right now they feel hurried, you know, maybe hurried to do that text message or respond to that email, to maybe then put in a boundary or a system, maybe no notifications, you know, on their phone. I did away with that and I'm so thankful. My husband now, he gets like all the notifications. I'm like, I don't know how you do that. But me, I'm like, I had to turn the notifications off. And I've been trying to, you know, just literally delete the app off my phone now. Just know your triggers, know what hurries your heart. And I think just being able to identify that will really help.
I was just going to piggyback off of that because one of the examples I use in the book is, you know, there's so many times where I confess I'll be at like a stoplight and I think I've got to just real quick see, you know, if there's a new email, you know, and then it's like, that's terrible. I mean, it's not a good driving practice and it's not a good practice for anybody that wants to hurry their heart. Cause obviously I can't respond to it. And I can't respond to it when I'm in the Target line. And I think I've got a real quick check and see if I've got any new texts or new emails. I can't respond to it. And so then my heart gets hurried because if it's something sort of stressful and somebody needs something like right now, then I can't be present in the moment of whatever I'm doing. And so I think just setting aside times of this is, you know, these are the times where I'm going to be on my email and these are, I refuse to pick up my phone when I'm in a Target line or whatever. Just those little tiny practices really help to unhurry your heart.
Yeah. I noticed that. I think we can all raise our hands and say, yes, we have done that. And I try to put myself in check as in, you know, when I think about picking up my phone, we're almost afraid of silence. We're almost afraid of just looking around because we're so used to busying our minds and hurrying our hearts. What's the next thing I can do to check off the list and get done versus what is it that I'm actually feeling or what is it today that I'm actually like, do I enjoy this moment? You know, because we're always trying to fill the space and do the next thing with everything that we have. So I'm excited for this book, Jennifer, and I love to ask every guest, what lie often comes for you that doesn't really necessarily relate to the book, but that you often have to speak truth to?
You know, I have, since I have been a child, boy, we could make a whole podcast out of this and it's going to sound like I'm like going to need a therapy session with you right now. But I have, since I've been a child, struggled with this feeling of, am I lovable? And so the lie then, of course, is that I am unlovable. And it goes clear back to, you know, first or second grade when I felt on the outside of a friend group and still stayed there and into my junior high years. And just all kinds of things over the course of your young years can stay with you for a very long time. And you get to be, you know, in your 40s, as I am. And every once in a while, that lie will come up again. You know, like if I wasn't invited to something, I mean, seriously, I feel like I'm 12 again, or I start to feel sorry for myself and I'm lonely in my real life at times. And, that was amplified during, lockdown and quarantine, of course. And so you can get to feel, well, the reason then is because I'm unlovable, that people don't like to be around me and that there's something flawed about me, and, having to, you know, just kind of push back against that a lot. I mean, I wrote a whole book about it in 2014, and I still have to fight back that lie.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing, first of all. For me, it always helps, I feel like, the listeners even lean in more, because, you know, you have this platform, you're an acquisition editor, you have a book, you have multiple books. Sometimes it makes us think, well, she's just above me. But then when you actually talk to somebody, they're like, okay, wow, like this is a human being that walks day to day, that takes care of poop or horses, or, you know, like we forget those things. Like, you know, I change my cat litter like every other day. You know, we still do the ins and outs, but we don't necessarily see that on social media. So sharing those lies like that, I thank you for it. And I know many can relate to that childhood. I know I can oftentimes really relate to that lie that I'm unlovable. And then strive to try to, like, hey, will you love me? Right? Like, if I do this, can I prove to you like that I'm lovable?
Yeah, that's a big thing too for a hurried heart, because if you're constantly feeling unlovable, or if that comes up from time to time, you feel pressurized and rushed in order to do some things that you think will earn you love. And I often have to speak to the little girl in me and not scold her or try to teach her a lesson, but almost like embracing her and hugging her and asking her, where was Jesus in the room that day when you felt that way? Where was Jesus on the playground when you felt that day? And adult Jennifer, where is Jesus in the room right now for you? And to imagine him as not only my king and my savior, but my friend.
That's beautiful. I mean, what do you want to close out and leave the listeners with today?
Oh, I would just say that in Ecclesiastes, it says that there is a time for everything and that God is making everything beautiful in its time. And in that Ecclesiastes set of passages, it says that there's a time for things like joy and dancing and embracing. But there are also seasons for grieving and for not embracing, which we felt during COVID, ironically. Mm-hmm. And there's a time for things that don't really sound like a lot of fun. But God tells us that sometimes it's not our moment to shine, and that it's not our moment to be growing. It's our moment to sit in hard seasons. And it's in those hard seasons, I think, that God teaches us a lot about who he is and who he wants us to be, and teaches us things about patience and endurance and intimacy with him, and the value of putting down deep roots, even when it seems like there is no growth. So just really embrace those seasons. You know, go take a look at those verses and just see how they speak to you and how can you embrace what they are.
I mean, every season matters, you know, no matter what it looks like. And I think that's a beautiful reminder of like what you just said. They're all seasons, but we can embrace all of them. Where do you want people to go to hang out with you and find more about you?
I am Jennifer Dukes Lee on Instagram and Facebook, and almost every single day I post in both of those places something encouraging.
Awesome. Well, I'll make sure I have all the links below and for the book. So thank you so much, Jennifer. I'm excited for you, and I'm excited for the people that will be reading this book, because I know they'll be blessed.
Thanks so much, Jessica.
Thank you so much for listening to this True Talk today that I had with Jennifer. She just continues to encourage my heart. I know you're going to just love her as well over on Instagram. And more than anything, I pray that this encouraged you, that quick success is not always the best fertile ground. I mean, when we think about quick success, do we really dig our roots in and does it go deep? I loved her example and analogy of when there's a really heavy wind that comes and it knocks over the corn, but the roots are so deep and so strong that it doesn't affect the corn. And I pray that that is how we continue to live our lives, rooted and grounded in Christ. If this podcast encouraged you, inspired you at all, I would love for you to just take a moment to leave a rating and review. It helps more people like you discover this podcast, What's the Truth, but also so that other women can be inspired and encouraged by your testimony of what you are learning. Remember, challenge the way you think and you will change the way you live.